Hello there, IELTS students. Welcome to IELTS Podcast. You no longer have to worry, fret, or panic about IELTS because we are here to guide you through this test jungle. Enjoy these IELTS tutorials, and if you need more help or want to access the famous online course, you can visit us at IELTSpodcast.com.
So it was 13 times?
Yeah, 13. Can you imagine? To be honest, so 12th time, after that, I follow your course, and then after that, I got 7 straight away.
Awesome.
So, so I follow your course 2 months, so from May until July. I took the test, and then straight away get 7. Like, you are the best tutor, that's it.
Hi there, IELTS test takers. This is Ellen, and on today's tutorial, I'm going to talk about the speaking test. And more specifically, I want to talk about the part of the speaking test that I think most people have a problem with. Of course, if you're familiar with the test, you'll know that I'm referring to part 2. The part 2 is the long turn where you have to prepare for 1 minute and then you have to speak for 2. I always find it really interesting. In all of my years of teaching IELTS, you know, the test gets more difficult as it goes on. So part 1 is kind of easy with questions that have to do with you and that relate to you. And then, okay, part 2 is where you have to speak for 2 minutes. But then part 3 is actually really kind of challenging because the questions get more difficult, they're abstract, they really require you to think. And so one would think that students have the hardest time with this. Well, in my experience, it's actually not the case. I find that most of my students really kind of stumble over part 1. And, you know, after asking some of my students, well, you know, you did so great in part 3. Why did you start so kind of awkwardly in part 1? And they all said the same thing to me. And they said that they were nervous because they knew they still had to do part 2. And I thought to myself, well, look at that. That's just, you know, psychology in action. People are nervous about what's to come. And so they actually do themselves a disservice. And they're nervous in part 1, which is really where you should be making a strong first impression on the examiner, really kind of showing the examiner that you're at a good level. And so people are essentially shooting themselves in the foot. And so that's why today I really wanted to talk about part 2. I want to make sure that you all have the confidence you need to go into the exam, not be afraid of any part of it. And I think that part of that has to do with handling part 2, knowing how to deal with it, and not really be surprised by things that can come your way. So that's the whole point. And I'm hoping that in this tutorial, I will give you some tips, about the test, about, part 2 and how to basically have the confidence you need. Now I mentioned before that, you know, you have to talk for 2 minutes. Well, the instructions say 1 to 2 minutes, but I have had more than a few students come back to me and say, Ellen, you know, the examiner made me talk for the full 2 minutes. Okay, so this is something that you have to be aware of, and you have to know that it might happen, even though the instructions say 1 to 2. The examiner may make you talk for 2 minutes, and so what you need to do is you need to be prepared for how to fill up those 2 minutes. That's the whole point of this tutorial, how to do that successfully. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about part 2. I'm sure that most of you have seen what a typical part 2 card looks like. So for the purposes of this tutorial today, I actually took out one of my old IELTS preparation books. I'm looking at Cambridge Test 4. Yeah, it's book 4 for IELTS, Cambridge. And I'm looking at Test 1. The card for Part 2 is describe an interesting historic place. And then it's got the bullets, you should say, what it is, where it is located, and what you can see there now. And explain why this place is interesting. Well, so here comes my first tip. Some people say that, you know, you don't have to talk about what's on the card. You don't have to talk about the bullets. You can really just talk about any element you want. And okay, yeah, that's probably very true. But the bullets are really there to help you. So not only do I think you should talk about the bullets in your talk, in your two-minute talk, but I also recommend to structure your talk in the order that the bullets appear. Because if you really look at them, it's a very logical organization of a story. I mean, if you were going to describe a historic place to your friend, you would possibly, very likely, use the order that's on the card to explain the place. So what it helps you do is it helps structure you. It helps keep you kind of focused and talking relevantly and coherently. So again, do use the bullets. And if you can, try to do your talk in the order that's on the card. I think it will help you. However, having said that, I want to add something else here. Don't talk just about the bullets. Extend your answers. I mean, stick to the card in order, but also extend, enrich it, give some of your own information. And I'll provide models during this tutorial to show you exactly what I mean. So, again, let's look at our topic. Describe an interesting historic place. One of the places where I see a lot of my beginning students kind of trip up and make a mistake is when they just go straight into the bullets. So, let me think of an example. I don't know. Historical place. A historical place is the Colosseum. It's the Eiffel Tower. It's the Parthenon, okay? So what they do is they go straight into that. They say, okay, well, I'm going to talk about the Colosseum, which is located in Rome, and it's a very famous place. And okay, in 10 seconds, you've covered two of the bullets. So now what? What are you going to do with the rest of your time? And for that reason, I will give you my next tip. Basically, take time to set up the situation. Give it an introduction. In other words, think of your part two kind of as like an essay. You wouldn't just go into the main body paragraphs if you're writing an essay, would you? Well, your part two should be the same way. It should have that same logic. So use the opportunity you are given. Think of the 2 minutes as a gift. They are your opportunity to show the examiner, hey, I deserve a 7, I deserve an 8. Look at how well I speak. Okay? And don't think of it as, oh boy, what am I going to do for 2 minutes? Okay? It is your opportunity to shine. So use it. So like I said, set up the situation. Since we're talking about a historic place, let me give you an example of how I would set it up. I have been asked to describe a historic place. Well, as you probably know, my country is well known for many historical places. We have landmarks dating from 2000 BC to the modern era, to medieval times. So it's really challenging to stick to just one historic place. But I nonetheless have decided today to talk to you about, I don't know, a Colosseum. So what did I do? I essentially spent about 15 seconds or so, or maybe even 20, on the introduction. I've shown you my fluency. I have shown you my grammar. I've shown you my lexical resource. Okay, so I've basically given myself a chance to shine. Okay, so the general idea is to start in a broad kind of way, give it an introduction, and then after you do that, you can get into the bullets. The first bullet says, say what it is. Okay, and that's fine, but that really gives you a lot of room to kind of move around. So my advice here is don't just say what it is, don't just name it, but actually describe it. So I was talking about the Colosseum, for example, not that I know a lot about it, but so if I said, okay, so the place I'm going to describe is the Colosseum. The Colosseum is a stadium in central Rome built in the ancient Roman times in the year, I don't know, X by I don't know whom. So if I really wanted to right now, I could make stuff up. So I'll do that right now. The Colosseum was built in 453 BC by the architect, oh God, I'm going to say a silly name, Aurelius, with stone that came from the mountains of Sicily. So what did I just do? Well, this is my next tip. Lie. Yes, you heard correctly. Lie. It's okay. Make stuff up, because this is a speaking test, not a truth test. The examiner is not interested about whether you're telling the truth or not, but your level of English. So make things up, make up details. It's fine. No one's going to test you later to see if you're telling the truth. In fact, I want to tell you a story about a student of mine who took IELTS a while back. I remember she came back to me and said, oh boy, Ellen, you will not believe what happened. My topic was talk about the movie you've seen about the future. And she said, I never watched that type of film. I have no idea. But I guess the day before her exam, we had prepared common topics like, you know, books you've read and movies you've seen. So she had something in mind. She said, well, I took the idea that we had prepared and I just set everything in the future. So there were robots, there were flying cars. And so she lied. She made it up. She didn't talk about a real movie. She talked about a completely fictional one. And it was fine. She ended up getting, I think, a 7 or 7.5 on her speaking. So don't worry about it. Okay, now let's go to the second bullet on my card here. It says, where is it located? Since I've been talking about a Colosseum, again, I'll just make up some fictional information that I don't know. Because you could just say, oh, the Colosseum is located in the center of Rome. Well, okay, great. But then you're done with the bullet. So again, extend. Use the chance to talk and fill up your time. So I really don't know anything about the Colosseum. I think I've been there once. So instead, I will give information about a place I do know a little bit about. Let's say that I decided to talk about the Statue of Liberty. So if I had to extend the bullet, where is it located? I could say, The Statue of Liberty is located on a tiny island known as Liberty Island. It is part of New York, but it is basically in the river between New York and New Jersey. And all day long, every day, ferry boats leave from New Jersey, I think in Jersey City, and they take tourists to Liberty Island as well as Ellis Island to visit the statue, and now I believe they can climb up it as well. So that was just one bullet. So I said quite a bit about it, didn't I? I told you what you can do there, how you can get there, and that's how you extend it. The last one is what you can see there. Again, you know, what can you see at a historical place? Other than the historical place itself, you can probably see lots of tourists. Other than tourists, you can see what sort of modern amenities or changes have been made to the location. So maybe there are special lights that show the historical place better, or maybe there are ticket booths or security guards. Perhaps there are souvenir stands or stores. Perhaps the whole area has really been developed in order to support this historical place. So these are some of the ways that you can extend this particular bullet. Kind of think a little more broadly about the topic and not just, what can I see there now? Well, I can see the Colosseum. Well, I can see the Statue of Liberty. So think a little more broadly. Now, here is the other place where you really, really can extend and just kind of go on for quite a while. It's this kind of round-off question. So if you really think about it, it's kind of like a conclusion to your talk. Now, in this particular card, the round-off here is, and explain why this place is interesting. So if the first thing you should do is start with an introduction and then go into your body, where your body are the bullets. This is your conclusion. This is where you wrap it all up, you bring it together. You may want to repeat some of the information you said earlier, but this is really where you kind of show the clear beginning, middle, and end of your talk. So, with my little Statue of Liberty example, if I had gotten to this point in the talk, I would probably say, after I had said, oh, you know, there are ferry boats and tourists from all over the world and from schools and lots of souvenirs selling mini statues and posters, etc., etc., I'd say, here's how I would finish it. So for me, the Statue of Liberty is really interesting for a number of reasons. The first one is because it is a gift of friendship. It was a gift given from France to America to show their friendship to each other. And it's also a symbol of liberty. It's a symbol of freedom. And I think that's a beautiful message in today's society. Not only that, but just thinking about how all those immigrants arriving to America on those boats, this was their first true image of America, this large statue welcoming them to American soil, I think is such a beautiful image and really very touching. So I really extended that quite a bit. I got into some details. I, you know, kind of pulled everything together. And so this is what you want to do. And the nice thing about allowing yourself to kind of like sit here and talk kind of in detail in this last one is that, you know, it's okay if the examiner stops you and says, you know, thank you. It's fine. It means you filled your 2 minutes and that's it. It's okay. I know some of my students come back to me and they say, oh, the examiner stopped me. Is that a problem? And no, because your responsibility is to talk. And if the examiner gives you the full 2 minutes and you used it all up, then great, no problem. And that's pretty clear from the scores these students get afterwards. it's okay if the examiner stops you. Okay, so now what I really want to do is I want to show you a full part two done by me, so I can kind of pull it all together rather than just talking about it like kind of one at a time. So I'll do this kind of quickly in the interest of time. It's from the same book. It's actually from test four, from book four. And the topic is, describe a useful website you have visited. You should say what the website was, how you found the address for this website, and what the website contained. Oh, and explain why it was useful to you. Okay, this one's pretty easy, and I think this is pretty common as well. Okay, to be completely honest with you, I am on my computer or on my tablet pretty much all day long. So I visit a lot of websites in the course of the day. However, if I had to choose one website to describe, it would probably be Facebook. Everyone, I believe, knows what Facebook is. It is, if not the most popular social media website around, it is among the most popular, with billions of members and billions of subscribers. I think I joined Facebook in 2008. When it was still fairly young. And the way I found out about this site is I think that some of my classmates from school had invited me. We were on another website where we kind of had found each other. And I think some of my friends invited me to Facebook. And that's how I discovered it. And then talking about it with other people, I learned more. This website started out really containing photos and updates of my friends, but it grew to be something else. For me, it's where I sort of concentrate all the news that I want to see, or the stores or groups or organizations that I'm interested in. All of that appears on my newsfeed. So it's kind of like a one-stop shopping for everything and every piece of information that I require. And so it's not something only that I have visited, but it's something that I visit multiple times a day. So that was just a few seconds short of 2 minutes. I probably could have continued. I had more to say, but I didn't want to run over. So you can see that I didn't stop. I extended each of the points. I gave a lot of information about how I found out about the site. And so this is one of the ways you can extend your answer. Okay, so now I want to talk about my last tip for part two. And my suggestion to you is what I just did myself. Record yourself. Record yourself and time yourself. I know my students always hate it when I say that because they don't want to listen to themselves, but it's really important. It's important for a couple of reasons. The first reason is that it's important to figure out your pace. It's important to see, well, how much can I fill in 2 minutes? How much do I say in 2 minutes? Do I run out of things? Do I go over? So these are important things to know so that you can pace yourself and practice and know whether you need to extend more in the beginning or whether you need to extend more in the end. So it's important. The other reason why you need to do this is because it allows you to kind of get a feel for what 2 minutes is. Because a lot of times what happens is when my students and I do like a mock speaking test is they talk and then they finish, but they still have time left. And so suddenly they're flustered. They're like, oh, I guess I have more time. Okay, well, what should I talk about now? Well, I told you that the historical place is the Statue of Liberty. It's in New York. And what else can I say about it? It's very nice. It's very big. So what ends up happening is it's a talk with no structure. There's a lot of repetition. And because all of a sudden you're nervous, you lose flow and you lose your fluency. And so to avoid this, try to really pace yourself properly, okay? And that brings me to my last piece of advice is practice. Practice a ton, but not only by yourself. Try to get some professional feedback. Do some practice tests with a professional IELTS tutor. You can, of course, sign up to the speaking course here at IELTSpodcast.com and have your speaking checked. But absolutely prepare with someone who can give you honest feedback about this, because that's the best way to prepare and to improve. So I hope my tips have been helpful. I hope you enjoyed them, and I hope you all practice. So till the next time, thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Andrew and Nadine, mm-hmm. they just did everything so quickly after that that it encouraged me to write the essays. I'm like, wow, I'm getting replies, you know, there are corrections made, and I'm so happy to see what's wrong. So everything went very, very quickly. Your teachers are amazing. I love them.
Thanks for listening to IELTSpodcast.com.